bringing you a small set of weekly conversations on leadership here on the show. We call the series Stepping Up. It's all about talking with folks in and around Greater Boston who are making deep change in their communities. And on a day like today, that idea of community hits home a little harder. It feels really present because in the moments that truly challenge us, that's when our communities matter the most. Last week, we heard from Reverend Willie Bodrick, senior pastor at the historic 12th Baptist Church in Roxbury. Before that, we spoke with Doug Rao, food security pioneer and founder of the nonprofit grocery chain Daily Table. Today, we are joined by a true force in the nonprofit world, Geeta Pradhan, president of the Cambridge Community Foundation. Geeta, welcome.
Thank you.
I appreciate having you here. We were going to go a different direction with this prior to the events of this week. It's a perfect opportunity, though, with you as a head of a community foundation to talk about stepping up in communities. And so I'm glad you're here. And I'm just going to begin by asking you what community means to you.
You know, community is a complex concept. On the one hand, it could be just a collection of people, but it's a collection of so many different kinds of people, of institutions, of different actors, of corporations and the like. And the coming together of all of these entities at times like the one that we are presently, dealing with is what really says what community truly is. It's the ability to come together, to heal, to connect, to help. That's what community means to me.
What about communities allow us to heal each other, help each other?
Say that again. I'm sort of missed you.
The building blocks.
The building blocks.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. There are different actors within the community. So, for instance, the faith community, at this point, that's a very critical aspect of community. There are the nonprofits, there's philanthropy, and there are the everyday people. And I really put my ultimate faith in the everyday people because that's where the connections are, the families, the individuals, the teachers, the schools. There's so many places. Those are the smaller building blocks that come together and create the larger sense of community.
You know, we wanted to talk to you. I met you more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
In the world of philanthropy, I was running nonprofits. And I want to mark that I think most people really don't know much about the world of philanthropy.
Yeah.
It's the internecine battles about whether they're maintaining the status quo or changing the status quo. But one thing I know about you is you pushed against that. We thought of you as a disruptor. And I wonder how you feel about being called a disruptor. Is that who you are?
Actually, I like that term. And I think it's a term that we need to lift up. Because when I think about what philanthropy is about and what the role of philanthropy is and should be a disruptor. It should be the force that sort of challenges status quo. Just to give you an example about just my own, why I came to disrupt. Some of it is that I was deeply rooted in community and most of my work was deeply rooted in community before I came into philanthropy. And I remember a conversation I had with Sister Virginia Morrison of the from Grove Hall from Muhammad's Mosque, who said to me, we were talking about economic development, and she said, In most other community, a dollar turns around several times, and in Grove Hall, it sleeps one night and leaves. It was a hand comment, but it really made me start thinking about the fact that there has been a problem that has been persistent in our communities for not just few years or a few months, but for decades and almost generations. So we have generational issues in the community, and it made me sort of question, why does that happen and what are we doing about it? And then when you look across philanthropy, what we have fallen into is filling the gaps where government services are not providing the services that they were supposed to be providing, whether it's workforce or education or healthcare. philanthropy has fallen into the trap of filling in those gaps. Whereas what I think we should be doing is questioning those gaps, using research to point, to shine the light on issues, to point out to problems, to experiment, to innovate. For instance, we just recently did a Guaranteed Basic Income project in Cambridge.
We had actually had Mayor Siddiqui on the show yesterday talking about
it. Yes. So we had that 130 families working on, getting guaranteed basic income for 18 months. But what we've done is now we've turned that project that was fully funded by philanthropy. The next stage of that is advocacy around that idea that has led to the city making a $22 million commitment for every family under 200% of poverty that will get cash assistance through ARPA. Now, this isn't
American Rescue Plan Act.
American Rescue Plan Act, yes. And so this isn't something that I think government would naturally do. But philanthropy, in a sense, paved the way for that. And there are many examples like that, you know, where philanthropy can step forward, experiment, push an idea. You're familiar with some of those. You did some of those in Grove Hall, I remember. And that opens up the space for the public sector, which is where the larger pool of funds are, or for the corporate sector, to step up and expand what they're doing. They will never be the ones who will do the innovation. They will do the expansion. So I feel like that's what philanthropy's role should be, to question, to push, to innovate.
So let's talk about leadership in a couple of spaces.
Yeah.
One, you spent time at the Boston Foundation.
Yeah.
While you were there, you helped create the Boston Indicators Project to differently measure the well-being of our neighborhoods and communities. That really sticks with me because a couple of weeks ago, Michael Curry, the head of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, was here as part of a new consortium that is pushing for healthcare equity.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked, well, what do we do? He said, well, we've got to measure the cost of healthcare differently. We have to look at the racial cost of healthcare. We have to look at the long-term life costs of receiving poorer outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
What were we measuring that we needed to measure differently? And what are we measuring wrong now?
That's interesting. I think for one, our approach to measuring community change was very siloed. So, you know, we are measuring educational outcomes. You know, we're measuring health outcomes. We are measuring income outcomes.
Separately.
But really, if you think of it, and I know that there has been research done on these, I think it was the Boston Police Department several years ago that did some tracking of it was actually around violence, about where violence was coming from. And they were able to sort of narrow it down to, a couple of households that it was emanating from. But what it did say was that those families were dealing with a whole host of problems. You know, it wasn't a single issue. It wasn't as though, you can track violence to someone who's just in poverty, for instance, you know. Or it might be, you know, it might be that the person who's sort of perpetrating the violence could be a person who has mental health issues, has dropped out of school, has family traumas. So there are multiple issues that actually affect the outcomes of anything, whether it's in education or income or healthcare or whatever. And so the idea of trying to look at this across issues and look at the interconnections between issues, I think, is the important thing. So I think that's something that I would say the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, for instance, really did lead the way on social determinants of health.
Which are those inputs to your health outcomes, like food security,
housing, education, your income status, and your health status. So there are other issues that actually really contribute to the health outcomes of a person. You know, when we're looking at the issue of education, too, you're seeing the same thing. If you look at the issue of education equity and kids in public schools who are not doing well, particularly black and brown kids, you see the same thing. If you were to track it back, you would see that there are a whole host of issues that are affecting their outcomes. Yeah.
So I'm going to flag that research. It was a little more than a decade ago. The Boston Police Department was involved in it. So was an academic institution. I don't remember which one.
I don't remember either.
The focus of that research on the time was on the fact that about 80% of the arraignments in Boston could be traced back to a smaller subset of families. It was very controversial at the time.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, I think part of, because I was in some of those rooms.
Yeah.
On one hand, part of the emphasis was on providing a surrounding of supports for families. On the other hand, there was worry that it was family blaming.
Yeah.
Rather than system blaming. Right. And I, excuse me, I want to stay in that space with you now. So now you're in charge. So you disrupt, now you're in charge.
Yes.
And I want to ask you to put a hard light on that. A community foundation is responsible for funding programs in a targeted community with money coming from people in that community. What is it like when now you're in charge and you're responsible for the framing?
First
you're
of,
responsible for holding
yes.
up the light.
So first of all, I say I love it. I love it because when you have that opportunity, that leadership opportunity, and you have had the experience of having done similar things in spaces where maybe you were not in charge, you know, you now you're in a space where you can really set direction for those kinds of things. And I really think that philanthropy has to become bolder. You know, I think it's a criticism even of my own self, you know, is that often when you're in running philanthropic organizations, the tendency is to follow what everyone else is doing. And for instance, you know, we're looking at the issue of education. And on June 8th, we are hosting a forum on education. And what we are talking about is that the outcomes for children are not just the responsibility of the schools. So the title of our forum is A Just Education, Our Youth, Our Responsibility. What is the responsibility of the community and how can we bring people together? So community foundation, one of the powers of a community foundation is that we can be, besides being grant makers, which I think is a small piece of what we do, we can be civic leaders, we can be conveners, connectors, and catalysts for change. We are neutral entities that can bring people together. And that is the power that I think we are trying to leverage. We don't always have the answers. You know, the answers are with the people who are living, who have the lived experience of an issue. The answers are with the nonprofits who are working closely with the people who have the lived experiences of issues. How do we lift those up? How do we bring them together with experts and create that kind of, you know, do that kind of sausage making that actually results in solutions that are unusual, that are people may not have thought about?
So at the top of the show, Reverend Mariama White Hammond was here from New Roots AME Church. And as we were wrapping that conversation, she was talking about what it would mean to have a truly pro-child Greater Boston. What could you do as a philanthropic leader? And what would it look like to push forward approaches that were truly pro-child?
Yes. I would say that, you know, first of all, really shining the light on data to show that, you know, this issue that we've forever talked about in education, about academic achievement, is not really an academic achievement issue, which puts sort of the blame on the child or the teacher for their inability to have the outcomes. But it is really about an opportunity gap that has been created, you know, that Dr. Janet Moses talks about a lot. And so I think it's shining the light on the myriad of issues that I think affect a child's life and affect children's outcomes, and holding the different actors responsible, or holding them accountable. What role do corporations have to play in this game? You know, what can they do? Can they mentor? Can they provide internship? Can they create those opportunities? What do we as everyday individuals in the community do? You know, what do other public departments do? Why do we expect the schools to deal with the nutrition, the mental health, the parent engagement? Every outcome, every aspect that affects a child's life is put on the school system. And our school systems across the country are failing, our public school systems. I think we have to look at this differently. We have to think about this differently. And I feel that the role that we can play in philanthropy is one of, again, you know, pushing ideas, supporting grassroots-led ideas, because those are the people who are living those experiences. We run this
That's
one.
That's where the wisdom
is. Yeah.
That is Geeta Pradhan, president of the Cambridge Community Foundation, for our series Stepping Up. Geeta, thank you.
Thank you.